Megan Benton from the Migration Policy Institute, and I'm really thrilled to welcome you back here for this second day of the Social Innovation for Refugee Inclusion Conference. We had a really inspiring, enriching day yesterday when we heard from social entrepreneurs, innovation thinkers, and private companies on how to deliver real impact from the refugee inclusion sector. And today it's going to be a bit different. We're going to have the chance to get our sleeves dirty, to really dig into how these things will work in practice, and to hear from some really promising initiatives on the ground. It's Friday. We've got a slightly emptier room right now, so I'd like to make the organising principle of today organised fun, which means I'm going to be pretty strict with timekeeping despite the late start. I'd like to entreat all chairs and speakers to be quite disciplined, but also fun. We're at an innovation conference, so loosen your ties. I don't know, say hello to your neighbour, do something rebellious, whatever you think the occasion might merit. And sort of with that principle in mind, we're mixing up the format a little bit today. We're going to have some workshops shortly. And if any of you are concerned, like me, that you don't remember which workshop you signed up for, don't worry. They are all listed outside, and there will be people shepherding you to the room that you're in. There is one workshop which will take place in here, which is the employer engagement workshop. But I will list the room numbers once we finish this session now. But first of all, we're going to have something really special. It's a really real treat that we're able to welcome Maher Ismail, who is co-founder of DeLillyNow.com in Germany, which is an online services search engine which helps newcomers find the right resources. Ooh, look at that, tech. find the right resources to meet their needs. And before arriving in Germany, Maher studied computer science in Damascus and worked in IT and programming. Awesome. And we're delighted that he'll be in conversation with Saeed Kameli Degan. Saeed is a journalist for The Guardian in London, where he covers a range of topics including Iran, the wider Middle East, and refugees. And he was named the 2010 Journalist of the Year in Britain at the Foreign Press Association. He was also the recipient of the 70th Annual Peabody Award for his HBO documentary, For Leader.
Thank you.
Take it away.
It's a great pleasure to host Maher, especially as an Iranian, to have somebody from our region. When we talk about refugees, it's always important to know about a personal story. So I want to kick off by asking you about how did you get to Europe? Why did you leave Syria? I understand that the Syrian government wanted you to join the army. You wanted to pursue your project. You know, you studied computer engineering in Damascus. What is your personal story first, before we get to your project and the amazing thing that you've done since you've left? Okay.
Thanks, Said, first, and thank you for inviting me to this conference. When I was in Syria, and I finished my first study in computer engineering, and then I wanted to continue in another like field in project management. And then when I arrived to the third year of my studies, they asked me to join the army, and they said, like, oh, it's enough for you, it's for studying, you are now 27 years old, and we should join the army instead of continue studying all the time. So at this point, I was between, like, two choices, to just join the army and to die or kill someone, or run away from all of this shit and just leave the country. And that was my choice. So directly I prepared everything and I left the country to Turkey. And I decided at that point that I will go directly to Germany. But it didn't work. So all the my plans are changed and I had to stay in Turkey for 1 year. At the beginning it was like so hard to be there, to leave, to find a job, to learn the language and everything. And also like after 1 year, it's complete 1 year. After I said, okay, I will stay there, then everything changed and I couldn't continue my life there. So I had to also leave again and come to Germany through the sea and all this other like ways crossing the borders to Germany to arrive here.
And in Germany, you started this amazing startup, DaliliNow.org, which is a services search engine. You know, Dalili means in Arabic, my guide. Why did you start it? You know, of course, you had the background in computer engineering, so you knew that you had knowledge. But and you teamed up with one of your friends. I gather you're a co-founder. Mm-hmm. Tell me why you started it, how you started it, what's it about, what is DaliliNow.org?
So like you said, Dalili means in Arabic, my guide. So it will be your guide as a newcomer to services in Germany. But at the beginning, why I started this project, when I came to Germany and I was like lost and I was searching for information all the time about like I want to continue my studies, I want to find like a job, I want to find an internship. Like different things, it was not so easy to find it. And in a new community, in a new different kind of life, you need at the beginning to find yourself, to find a flat, and like different like problems you faced all the time from the first, from first second that you arrived till maybe day. And that's why I created Dalili Now. It will be like service search engine for the services in Germany, where you can find all the information that you needed for new life.
For refugees.
For refugees, for like as German courses, if you want to search for a job, an internship, how to deal with the bureaucracy, especially the German bureaucracy, because like just to deal with the offices there and how to prepare your papers from one place to another place, you need a ton of information. And that's so hard to get it.
And the language barrier, of course, when you arrive as a Syrian refugee, for example, or someone from the Middle East in Germany, how to know these different organizations or the support you can get.
That's the point. If you're not like speaking the language, it's so hard to get this information. So that's why I want to provide this information for now in two languages, Arabic and English. Mm. And it will be later maybe in another languages, but to make it more accessible for the other refugees and to make it more understandable for them. So we will provide this information now for them. And I hope later it will be so useful for them, so they will not have to go through all the way that I had to go in. Mm.
When we talk about refugees, what is the importance of inclusion, you think? What is the significance of inclusion when we talk about refugees in general, from your experience?
Some of people, like they said, inclusion, or in Germany we like to say it, integration. Some of them, they said, when you learn the language, it's you already integrated. The others are when you have a job, so it's okay for you. For me, I think it's the real integration or the real inclusion is started when you're accepting the others like they are. Doesn't matter when, even if you learn the language, even if you find a job and everything is fine, when you are still in this society and you find that the others, they are not accepting you like a person coming from another country, that's really like tough for us. So I think it's the real integration starting when the both sides, maybe the locals and refugees, they said, okay, I don't care about your background, I don't care about anything, your nationality, I'm accepting you like you are, and I'm accepting this new community like it is. And at that point, it will be a real integration.
So it's a two-way thing, you know, you have, as a refugee, you have to get integrated to the new society and have that society also include you in the conversation, isn't it?
So Sorry, can you repeat one more time?
I mean, when we talk about inclusion, it's two ways. You know, as a refugee, you yourself have to integrate into that new society, the new language, the new culture. But also, you have to have people in that culture and that country also include you and be prepared and open.
That's right.
And you had, from your experience, you thought that, is that a two-way conversation, or?
Yes, of course, it's like in two ways, like it's two different sides. It's not working on just my side, like trying always to integrate in this new society and to do all what can I do to let them accept me. And also it's on the other side, like to always trying to get me in, to involve me in some projects and some social events and different places. Like I said at the beginning, when I came for my experience to Germany, it was hard first because of the language, of course, because a lot of them, when I was the first time in the east side of Germany, and just a few of people, they are speaking English there. Mm. So it was so hard to communicate with them, and it was just a few words on Google Translate at the beginning. So, and they always like saying, trying to say to you like, "Du musst Deutsch sprechen," that you should speak in Deutsch. So at that point, I translated one sentence on Google Translate that, "I'm not an angel. I need time just to speak in language." So. But then in different cities, like when you become more familiar to the community and how to deal with them and how to talk to them, it's become easier and easier with the time, and you find yourself more and more integrated with them.
In innovative solutions, like what you did with Dalida Now, talk about these innovative solutions and the importance of involving refugees in these innovative ways, especially startups or entrepreneurs like you who are interested. You know, what needs to be done to make sure that, you know, refugees are involved and have a better access to show their potential? Because I understand that when you were in Germany, you had support from Ready School, Tech Fugees. So tell me about that, especially about, you know, being an entrepreneur as a refugee and being an entrepreneur. What are the challenges and what are the ways to do it?
When I get the idea for my project, I was living first in Dortmund, and there I didn't really find myself or any kind of support there to start my project. And then I was invited to a hackathon in Berlin, and in this hackathon I met the co-founder of Ready School and also another organization.
What is Ready School? Is it like a...
Ready School is a school for digital integration, and they are providing tech courses for refugees for free. So for programming, designing, any kind of technologies needed in the job market, they are teaching it. So to integrates refugees in a digital way. And it was so useful for me, like especially because I moved to Berlin because of them. Because when I was in the first city, I didn't find really the help and the support that I needed to continue my way. Then I found, okay, oh, so it's not my place here, I should move to Berlin. So I moved to Berlin, I stayed like almost 1 month just moving between different places to find a place to live there, and I stayed there, and I said I will never like go back whatever it happened, so because it's really what I need, it exists there. Different organizations and amazing initiatives providing free services for free for refugees exist in Berlin, and one of them like Ready School and other called Ideas in Motion. I started first with Ready School to take tech courses and to meet my other co-founder, that's when we started to work on the idea, and then we joined a competition with another organization called Singa Deutschland, where they created an incubator for refugees. And also we joined it as a team, and we started in it working on the idea and to create all the first steps, like in the project. And it was also so useful for us. From 1 month to another, we were like moving forward in the project and learning new things every day. So it was really like, I found a really amazing initiative there that it could provide the support for us, provide really help for us to integrate. But the problem was also like a lot of us didn't hear about it. And also that was another reason that I created my my project Delili Now, to provide this information about all of this amazing initiative on this platform, so they can know about it, they can know where they can find it, and how they contact it.
That's the thing, you know, when you're refugees, when you have to flee your country and enter a new society, you don't know anything about it, and you're vulnerable. I went recently to Spain, to the cities of Algeciras and Tarifa for reporting, and I met a lot of refugees who come from the Morocco, Spain, from straight off Gibraltar route. And a lot of people were fleeing persecution in Morocco, especially in the Hosima area, and they didn't know even the basics of where should they go to seek asylum, what needs to be done, and most of them were being sheltered in the Red Cross building in Algeciras. So, I mean, that's why something, a website like yours that also is available in Arabic helps refugees to know even the first basic things when they arrive, where to get the help, how to start, if they are an entrepreneur like you, where to go, because there are these places like Ready School that they can attend.
Yeah, that's right. Like you said, it's not easy to go all through the way, and when you are just arrived, it's like totally new world. And especially if you are not maybe English speakers, it would be more harder for you. So if you find this information directly, maybe on your phone, just search on it, like where can I get the help? Should just to give my papers in the first place, and then where I can get a German course, where can I get find a job.
There are a lot of services for free for refugees, but you may not necessarily know that they exist.
But it's not really accessible to them. Like, I have a lot of friends living in Berlin, and there is maybe more than 100 in Berlin, and most of them, they don't know one of these initiatives. So it's really, like, that's the point. We should let all of these newcomers know about what these initiatives do and how they can access it.
And how has been the reaction among fellow Syrians in Germany, or, you know, entrepreneur refugees? Have they been contacting you to help you or asking you how they can pursue their own idea?
Yes, also, because and like in Berlin, it's really amazing place where you find a lot of innovators and entrepreneurs. So we do connect always and trying to help each other, especially like in our Syrian community, because I know really brilliant guys. They already created different initiative and organizations. And some of them on the same field, some of them in the like social field or the education field. And we are trying to, like for me, I can put their information on my platform. They can share for me our events on their platforms. And that's why we're like always working almost on the same goal.
So you've talked about the support you've received in Europe and in Germany about your idea. What do you think Europe should do, or Germany can do, to improve this access or to make it stronger or easier for refugees like you to make their idea happen? What needs to be done?
I think...
what is lacking? What is lacking? And what the institutions in Europe, especially those supporting refugees, can do or should do to make this inclusion better or work smoothly? Or
I think it should be, in the first place, more refugee inclusions. So I saw a lot of different projects failing because, okay, they are already creating an ideas for the refugees, but without to have the opinions from the refugee side. So how it will work, I don't know. And so in the first place, if you are creating some solutions for refugees, you should ask refugees themselves.
The decision-making is not, they are not included necessarily in the decision-making.
Yes, that's the point. So, like, how you can really, like, make a tea if you just have the water and the sugar? You need the tea to make it. And the same things, that how you can create solutions for refugees without taking their opinions. Because we already know, like, what is the obstacles, what's the things that we are facing every day. And I think we know more, like, what is the best solutions for it. So if we just involved us more in creating these solutions, I think it will be better for both sides. It will be saving for the time.
When we talk about refugees, we sometimes forget the risk that they have to take and the personal stories, you know, why they left and everything. And in my career recently, I traveled to Spain, as I mentioned, and I've been studying the Libya-Italy route and the Greece, these three to four main routes. And a lot of people, of course, die in the before reaching Europe. Recently, we had there was especially in the Libya-Italy route is the deadliest. The Syrian Kurdish toddler Alan Kurdi died in 2015. Since then, more than 4,000 refugees have died in the sea attempting to cross the Mediterranean. So, this is. It's also important to reflect on those who have lost their lives. But your story is a success. That's, you know, it's good to hear that. Can I end by asking you, is Berlin your new home now, or do you think you are, or is it impossible to cut ties with the past and with the roots? How are you coping?
At the beginning, when I arrived here, I was thinking inside myself, oh, I cannot continue my life here, it's impossible. But like when the time is gone and I get to meet different people from all over Europe and all over the world, I discovered that doesn't matter about where you come or what is your nationality. When you just start to think as a human, and we should all support each other, at that point, any like place could be your home. Like, of course, Syria, it will be my first home, but I could have also a second home, a third home, fourth home. Whenever I will be, I will serve the place that I will live in the better way. And so home could be anyway. Home could be when you find your love, like me. I found it in Germany.
Right.
So, yeah, just forget all the other like nationalism way, and all this earth will be our home.
Great, it's a positive note to end.
Thanks.
I just wanted to end by thanking the organizers for. I mean, this is why inclusion is important, and for all the partners of this conference to Horst Meyer. It's a very wonderful story.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for everyone attending.
Thank you so much, both of you, for what was a really inspiring discussion. I love that Dilili Now is it's a bit like innovation flourishing in the gaps where government bureaucracy fails. it's a really wonderful example, and I think... where you pointed to the importance of involving refugees, the tea as the essential ingredient. So that was a really important point to begin our workshops.